Let us pray.
Masthandazen.
Father, thank you so much for the blessing that we have today. Please guide us by your Holy Spirit. Let your will be done. Thank you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Singahlala phansi.
Right. This morning I want to share with you about leadership.
Ekuseni nje nithanda ukubelana nani ngeleadership.
And the importance of many different things in leadership.
Nokubaleka kwento ezininzi ngeleadership.
Hallelujah. Now, a pastor's work is basically leading people.
Umsebenzi womfundisi kona kona ukukhokhela abantu.
And one of the great blessings for a people is to have a great and a good leader.
Eyona engaphezulu nenamandla intsikelelo kukuba kube khona ukukhokhela okulungileyo.
The reason why Nelson Mandela is hailed and respected all over is because he was a good leader.
Esona sizathu esenza emkhulu futhi ahlonishwe kungokuba wayeyinkokheli elungileyo.
And he's almost glorified as almost as if he's superhuman.
Uye wazukiswa kakhulu ngokuba ngumuntu onamandla kakhulu lonke ihlabathi.
That is because of a certain kind of leadership.
Lonto ibangelwe luhlobo oluthile lobukhokheli.
That he exhibited.
Elenze ukuba abe ngophumeleleyo.
When he came to South Africa.
Xa esiza eMzantsi Afrika.
So a leader is a really great blessing.
Ukukhokhela intsikelelo engapha kuqonda.
Maybe if we had some more Nelson Mandelas in Syria. Or in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan.
We wouldn't have the kind of carnage that we are seeing today.
Mhlambi kuba uNelson Mandela ube kwelinye ilizwe singenayo lenkuthazeko esinayo namhlanje.
So you can see the type of effect that a good leader has.
Ndiyibona ke impembelelo ebangelwa ukulunga nokuba namandla kobukhokheli.
Amen. Now, the effect of a good leader is so much that you see it also in like a comparative place. That is just like a place which has a good leader and a place which doesn't have a good leader. You can see the difference from the leader.
Impembelelo yenkokheli elungileyo uyakwazi ukuyibona kwindawo ekungekho nkokheli elungileyo. Uba khona umahluko phakathi kwenkokheli ezizombini.
You take Mozambique.
Mozambique.
They also had independence from the white people. They also had independence from the white man. In 1975. And they gave the white man 24 hours to leave the country.
Hours.
with 24 kilos luggage.
Bepheteke imithwalo e24.
And then they started a war for 18 years.
Baqala ke imfazwe iminyaka e18.
So you see a different thing happened in South Africa.
Yabona kumahluko ne South Africa.
And that was caused by the kind of leader.
Londo ke ibangelo lohlobo luthile lonkokheli.
That is why Barack Obama came to Nelson Mandela's funeral.
Iyo lento yabangela ba ukumkani Barack Obama eze emncwabeni kaTata Mandela.
Oh, he didn't come. Did he come? He came.
Where's?
Yes, he came. Because Nelson Mandela's decisions, leadership, all right, was such that it caused the people under him to go a certain way or to be protected from something.
Ngoba ihlobo owayekhokhela ngalo uTata Mandela lwalukhokhelela ukuba abantu babe nohlobo oluthile abalandela ngalo.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, in banks, like a bank like FNB, Standard Bank, Stanbic, and all this, in banks like in England, the bank manager, the overall manager, the overall boss, can be paid as much as 25 or 30 million pounds as his bonus. In 1 year, at the end of the year, like this December, they can be paid 30, 40 million pounds.
Yo lento ezibankini njengo FNB, Standard Bank, njengase England, u bank manager ubhatala izigidi zemali ezazibaleyo xa kuphela unyaka.
And the other people in the bank will not be paid anything, even one pound.
Kodwa abanye abantu nje apha ebhankini babhatalwa nje izimalanyana.
At the end of the year. I know because my son worked in the bank. He wasn't given even 1 pound. Mm-hmm. I said, I know because my son worked in the bank. And he didn't get even 1 pound. It seems you understand the English, or you do need interpretation. You don't need interpretation. Are you sure you don't need an interpretation? You need it? Okay. All right. You decide. I don't mind. It's the same for me. You decide. If it's interpretation, I will preach with it. If it's not, it's okay. So you decide. You are the pastors. Amen. So if you want an interpreter, you tell him to come back.
Once, who can't understand, who doesn't understand the English language?
We are okay? All right. Now, please. Now, excuse me, please. So, what I'm saying is that the banks know that one person, when he works well, the bank will be very rich. And this person somewhere, even if he's dead, it wouldn't change anything. Do you understand? Yes. So a good leader is like the head. You can cut it off and it's finished. But the people that are not the leaders, you know, like the kidney, you can cut it out and change it. The liver, you can cut intestines, legs, arms, eyes. You can take out so many parts. But everything depends on the head. All the parts of the body you can open, take out, change. You can even change the heart, but you can't change the head. You can't do head transplant. Do you understand? Because you are your head. Your head defines you. So the leader is very important. I'm telling you, look, when African leaders die, American presidents don't come for their funerals. America have been arresting African presidents for years and trying them, putting them in prison and all kinds of things. But when your president, Nelson Mandela, died, the American president and many people came because his headship and leadership, okay, has greatly, greatly helped South Africa. And I'm not talking about politics, please. I'm talking about the church. I'm trying to give you that so that you understand. When it comes to the church, the pastor is also a leader. And his decisions and what he does greatly affects the church more than anything else. And unfortunately, many of us pastors are not good leaders. Now, Nelson Mandela, again, back to Nelson Mandela. His funeral was on CNN and BBC. We all watched it. I watched it in Ghana. Okay? Why? Because he was such a good leader. But I would say not only because he was such a good leader. That is not the only reason. But because he was also unusual in an African context. He was a star in Africa. A star is something bright in the midst of darkness. Many Africans are not good leaders. Actually, Africans are usually the worst type of leaders you can ever have. Yes. If you want to be honest, it's usually the worst type of leaders. Our ways doesn't make things work in a certain way. The way we go about things, our leadership and our style. Do you understand? Even if you don't understand, you keep listening. By the time I finish, you will agree with what I'm saying. Okay, so turn with me to Isaiah chapter 3. And you will see that when God wants to bless people, he gives them a good leader. But when he wants to punish them, he gives them bad leaders. Mercy. Isaiah 3 verse 1. Behold, the Lord of hosts doth take away from Jerusalem and Judah the stay and the staff. He's taking away the whole stay of bread, water. In other words, he's going to make us lack food and water. All right? The mighty man, the man of war, the judge, the prophet, the prudent, the ancient, The captain of 50, these are all leaders. The honorable man, the counselor, the cunning artificer, the eloquent orator. And I will give them children to be their princes, and babies shall rule over them. Hey, this is the punishment. Like, this is the judgment. God is saying that, okay, the punishment I'll give you is not 20 lashes. I'm not going to punish you with sickness. I'm not going to punish you with barrenness, no rain. I'm going to punish you by taking away such wonderful people from your community. That's the punishment for you. He says, the Lord doth take away bread and water. In other words, he's introducing poverty. He's introducing poverty to the people. And what is he going to do and how is he going to do that? He's doing that by removing eloquent orators like Nelson Mandela. He's going to remove honorable men like Nelson Mandela, counselors like Nelson Mandela. He's taking away the captain of 50 captains like Nelson Mandela. He's taking away the prudent. Prudent man is somebody who sees the future. Prudent means you see the future. That was what the Bible says. The prudent man sees the evil ahead and keeps himself. When the person is not prudent, he doesn't see ahead. He can only plan for just maybe the maximum is 1 year. Most African leaders do not plan beyond 1 year. Huh? Fantastic. They see the evil ahead. Okay? And then, the man of war, like Nelson Mandela, who fought, you know, he fought. That is why it was called the struggle. Because it was a struggle against oppression. Is that not so? I'm only using Nelson Mandela because we are here. Is this not the home of Nelson Mandela? Yeah. So I'm showing you, you had a great man. Maybe you didn't know how great he was. Till you see what is the other side when you don't have him. You see how great he is. Amen. And what else? The prophet, the judge. Take away the judge. The judge like Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela was quite an interesting judge. He was a lawyer, wasn't he? Yes. And then also, when America was going to invade Iraq, Nelson Mandela spoke against it. He said, you want to turn the world into a fireball. He told the Americans. I remember he was one of the few people who said, what you are doing is whatever. And true. Look at where we are today. Right now, anybody who comes and stands and says, alabalabala, alabalabalabala, hey, you see people running away. Yeah. Yeah. If he's holding a bag and he starts to say, abala, 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 abala. You see that? Everybody's running. Hey! The mighty man. These are the people God says, this is the punishment. The punishment is not to be beaten. It's not imprisonment. No, he says, the Lord doth take away. I'm taking away from Jerusalem such people. And I will give children to lead them. Hey, babies shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. And the child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of his house, saying, "Hast thou clothing? Do you have clothes? Be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thine hand." Wow. In that day he shall say, "I will not be a healer, because in my house is neither bread nor clothing. I don't have bread, I don't have clothes. As for my children, my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths." Hallelujah. So every nation, every continent, hallelujah, depends on the leaders. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. What does it say? "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained." Thou shalt be what? A good minister. Amen. We must all intend to be a good minister. Okay? A good minister. Amen. So when you become a leader, all right, you must decide to be one of the good leaders. Because Timothy said you must aim to be one of the good leaders. Amen. So all of us here as pastors and ministers must try to be a good minister. At least you did your best. You know, one day, one of my church members was diagnosed with cancer. And the doctor told her that she was going to die. So she came to me and I was talking to her. She was very sad. And we were all quiet. Then she said, I asked her a question. As we saw that her life was ending, I asked her a question. "Have I been a good pastor to you? Like, because now the main thing you are going to see is heaven." So I asked her, "Have I been a good pastor to you?" She said, "Bishop, you have been a good pastor. You've told me always about God and about heaven and about eternity. My mind is ready for that kind of thing." Do you see? So you must always ask yourself, are you a good pastor? You know, in anything you are doing, you must do it well. I'm a doctor, okay? And medical doctor. I went to medical school in 1982, in University of Ghana Medical School. And I was in the medical school for 7 years. I qualified in 1989 as a medical doctor. So I'm a medical practitioner, apart from being a pastor. All right? So I could be a doctor, a good doctor, and I could also be a good pastor. One day I was in the ward, you know, and I was looking after the patients. And I realized that, like, at 5 o'clock, when I left the hospital, I realized that my mind was on so many other things. You know, and one day I realized that my heart is not in what I'm doing. Do you see? Like, looking after the patients every day, setting up drips, giving medicine, tablets, injections, I realized that my mind and my heart was on God, not on the patients. Do you see? So I realized that if I don't take care, I can even kill somebody by mistake. Because my heart is not in what I'm doing. You know? So you must realize that you must always ask yourself, am I a good what I'm doing? And I don't want to be a doctor, and I'm not a good doctor to the people. You see, I wanted to be a doctor that if I'm a doctor, I'm very good at what I'm doing. How many of you, if you have a heart attack, you would like a dentist to operate on your heart? Would you like a dentist to operate on your heart? Or you would like an expert, somebody who is good at operating on hearts, to operate on your heart, isn't it? Yes, everybody wants someone that is good in the job to do the job for you. In your case, your heart. Who do you want to operate? There are some operations when you are going to do, they will tell you, you may not wake up. They tell you, you may not wake up. So you sign, you accept it. You know the one who invented iPhones? Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, yeah. He had a cancer of the pancreas. That's what he died of. And to operate on that thing is an operation called Whipple's operation. And that operation, if the hospital doesn't do at least 12 in a year, the chances of waking up is very small when they operate on you. It's, the operation it lasts about 12 hours. It's about 8 hours, 12 hours operation. So unless that hospital, like, they are experienced in doing it, that means that they are very good at it, the chances that you wake up is small because they are not good. But where they do it often, the chances of waking up, it costs $100,000. The chances of waking up are higher. How many would like to fall into the hand of somebody who has been doing it once a year? Maybe he has done it 3 times in his whole life, and you are falling into his hands. You will not like that, isn't it? You want to fall into the hand of somebody who is good at what he's doing. Is it not true? So in the same way, Christians want to fall into the hands of somebody who is good at being a pastor and good at leading them to places. Amen. Is that not true? You must be good at what you are doing. So God wants us to develop our pastoral ministries until we are good pastors, good leaders. Amen. And we are good at preaching, good at ministering, good at everything that we are supposed to do as pastors and as leaders. You know, when you say leadership, leadership is what a pastor does. A pastor is a leader. A shepherd is a leader. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leadeth me, you see, to the still waters. So a shepherd's main work is leading. He leadeth me. He leads. A shepherd is a leader, leading the sheep. So a main work of a shepherd is leading. He leadeth. He leadeth. So if you are going to be a pastor, you must decide to become an expert at leading, because a shepherd's work is leading. So the art of shepherding is the art of leadership. Can I have the art of shepherding and the art of leadership? These are two things that are virtually the same. The Art of Leadership is a very, this is a famous book It's even more famous in certain languages, Russian and other, because my books are translated into so many languages. Yes, and this book is one of the most popular. I went to a church in Ukraine. Well, actually, I didn't go to that church, but the pastor told me, he said, I have 4,000 members. Everybody's supposed to have one of this particular book, The Art of Leadership. Yeah. And then The Art of Shepherding, to be a shepherd. It's not. So if you are going to be a good leader, okay, you must become a good leader. Now, especially in Africa, you can see the signs of bad leadership almost everywhere you go. If you travel in Africa, you can see the signs of bad leader. Like the poorest and the lowest and the worst type of leadership in the whole world. Africa, one of the things, you see, the verse I read, it says, I'm going to take away the stay of water, or the supply of water and the supply of bread. When there is a good leader, people are not hungry and people are not suffering without jobs. Yes. When you go to England, you see the man who comes to collect the rubbish. He comes early in the morning with his Mercedes Benz, packs it, and takes the rubbish car and stands at the back of the rubbish car. Do you understand rubbish? What do you call rubbish here? Kunkuma. Kunkuma. He takes the kunkuma, puts it on, and he goes around the whole day collecting kunkuma, and then he comes to park, takes his Mercedes Benz, goes to his house. He has a house. He has a house with children, wife, everything. Wonderful. But in some places, even a doctor will not come with his car. A doctor cannot do that even. You know? So, where people are not good leaders, there's a lot of poverty. And then also, where people are not good leaders, you see that they cannot build. You need a great leader to build things. Do you see? A great leader to build. One of the signs of leadership is building. Do you see? Yeah, it's building. To build is a sign of a leader. But you find out that people cannot build. All over Africa, if you go, you see small, small, small buildings, small, small, small huts, no roads, nothing. The South Africa that you people are enjoying was not built by black people. It was built by the white man. You may not know. And the airports and the roads and the N1s and the side roads and all that was not built by the black man. It was built by white people. You have inherited it. It may be a shock to you, but that's the reality. Yes. You are now the ones building. What South Africa is going to be from now onwards is going to be built by black people. So what you have now onwards is black. The black man's achievement from 1994 till now onwards. When you had all the money. From now you have the money and the power. Everything is yours. Do you understand? Oh, it's not true. Am I wrong? Don't you have black empowerment? Don't you have companies must have a black component? It's by law. And you have the political power, the majority. So from now onwards, this is yours. Wow. Are you with me? Yes. Building. But many South Africans don't travel outside South Africa, so you don't know Africa. You don't know Africa. I come from real Africa. Real Africa. Our country was the first to have independence from the white man. We are the first. That's why we are called the Star of Africa. We also inherited roads, railways, buildings. And since then, it has been our achievement. Today in Ghana, they rarely blame the white man for anything. You never get a politician mentioning that our problem is caused by the white man. No. Because it has been so many years that it is difficult to say the white man is causing a problem. You see? Yes. It's been so many years since we took over. 1957, we are 58 years old now. Nobody, you never hear any politician in Ghana or president ever saying that a problem is being caused by the white people. Never. Do you hear it? No. They will even feel shy to say. Yes. Because it is clear that whatever we are doing it. Yeah. They gave us railways. When we, in 1957, we had rails with trains. Trains from the middle of the country down to the south. None of them are working. Even we have not added even 1 meter of railway to the original railways. Even 1 meter. Yes. Yes. Even 1 meter. Yes. We have not been able to build a modern airport. You can't blame them because when during independence, the Prince of Wales or the Queen came to Ghana to hand over independence to us, she came on an aeroplane called BOAC. BOAC. British Overseas Airways Corporation. Yes. And the airport, the small airport that was there, that is the same place that 1957. That is why nobody mentions a white man in Ghana, that a white man is doing something to us. No. Now, the two main cities in the country are not yet connected with a road. There's nothing like two lanes here going, two lanes here coming. No. Part of it is a sun like, have you seen that Dakar Safari? Dakar Rally. Where they go through the part of it is like. Nobody mentions a white man as a source of problem where I'm coming from. Are you still here? Because whatever is happening now, whether it's the lack of building, poverty, we were recently declared one of the highly indebted and poor nations of the world. Ghana. Highly indebted and poor. And the reason we took that status is so that people could dash us all the money we owe them. When we started our currency was £1 is one cedi, 1 to 1, or even a bit more. Recently, it was more than 10,000. One became just how yours is $1 is 14. It used to be when I first came to South Africa, it was $1 is 4 rands. When I came here first, 1994. I've been coming to South Africa for a long time. $1, 4 rand. Now it's 1.14. We too, we started like that. It was 1 to 1. Then 1 to 2. 1 to 3. 1 to 5, 1 to 6, 1 to 10, 1 to 20, 1 to 40, 1 to 50, 1 to 100, 1 to 150, 1 to 200, 1 to 250, 1 to 300, 1 to 500, 1 to 1,000, 1 to 2,000, 1 to 3,000, 1 to 4,000, 1 to 9,000. We went up to 10,000. They said, it's too much. And we changed the currency completely. We put it aside. But we started 1 to 1. Just like, you see, yours has become 14. It's 1. Yeah. Welcome. So what I'm saying to you, my friends, is that a pastor is a leader. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. So you are leading people. And we as pastors need to lead people into prosperity. Not into prosperity, into a good life, into a better existence. If you are the leader, people must be blessed as they follow you. Amen. But many of us are not leaders. So I want to encourage us to really study about leadership. Do you have any of the books on a good general there out there, you people, or not? Do you have for sale? The question is, no. Okay, then why do you put it here? Because then I don't know what I'm advertising it for. But anyway, this is, I have a very good book on leadership also called A Good General, which you can buy if you are interested. And what it means to be as wise as a serpent. A good general, a good leader, and a good wise as a serpent. Very interesting. You'll be blessed. So now, let us look at the worst kind of leadership that you are going to avoid and to never be associated with you from today in Jesus' name. That is the leadership of a child. Isaiah 3 verse 12, the leadership of a child. As for my people, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Isaiah 3 verse 4. Then he will appoint children to rule over them, and anarchy will prevail. The first sign of a child is in charge is disorganization. How many of you have children? Are their rooms tidy? Do children arrange things nicely? Like how things are arranged nicely here? Wherever you go and a child is in charge, you see confusion. Hey! You don't even have to see a sign. Black zone, white zone, brown zone, yellow zone. You can see by looking at the state of confusion and the state of disorganization, which group of people are there. You know that the people there are being led by children. Yes. Number two. Children's leadership is characterized by a lack of understanding serious issues. Wow. When people have not got good leaders, serious issues are not understood. You'll see rubbish everywhere. Rubbish. You see dirty toilets, rubbish, You see rivers being filled with toilets, rubbish. Some of you need to travel to see. If you, one day I went to an African country, the river was a river of polythene bags and rubbish. Wide river grew through the city. That's the water. Because you see, you see that when a child doesn't know what is a serious issue, he doesn't know that this is serious to pollute the waters. And so, lead children, they don't understand serious things. It is the grown-ups who understand the serious thing. I once went to the house of somebody whose father has died. The children were playing outside, and the mother was inside crying. Because the children don't understand what is happening. But the mother understands that my husband is dead. And I'm now a widow. So children don't understand serious things. Yeah. If you ask people to leave in 24 hours, you ask the white man to leave your country in 24 hours, it means you don't understand so many things. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying? Yeah. Because if you ask them, go in 24 hours with 24 kilos in your hand. Go to Mozambique today. You see the tall, the skyscrapers. Since they left, the skyscrapers are there. You see them 20 floors, 30 floors. The lifts are full of rubbish. The lift don't work. It's used as a rubbish dump. So it's full. From ground to the top, full 20 floors of rubbish. Cucumba, is it what you call it? Cucumba. Cucumba, yeah. Four. You ask them to leave. Do you know the implications? Do you know what you are doing? You see, that's why I said that Nelson Mandela was a very great leader. Yes. Because this place could have been Afghanistan if he had not understood what he was doing. It was all depending on him. If he declared, he said that, you put me in prison for 30, how many years? 27 years! Me! 27 years! You killed this person! You killed this person! You killed this person! You will see, you showed me pepper, I will show you hot pepper! I will show you hot pepper! This country could have turned into Afghanistan up till today. Up till today, 20 years later, just like other places. But a child doesn't understand the implication of what he's doing. So when you tell them, build, they don't understand what it means. When you say, go to school, they don't understand what does it mean. Many of my pastors, and I tell them something, they don't understand the implication of what I'm telling them to do. You may not understand the implication of this crusade. You may not understand the implication of what really is happening. A person who is not a good leader does not understand what he's doing. That's why I said that you go to somebody where the father of the house is dead. The children will be playing ball outside because they don't understand what is happening. Otherwise, they may be crying. Yeah, they don't understand what they are doing. When our president announced, he said, we have a right to manage or mismanage our own affairs. Yes. And there were some who said, independence now. Some said, independence later. And we said, independence now. We had it. And after that, we had wars, coups, wars, everything. The only war we haven't had, by God's grace. Because Ghanaians are very peaceful. But saying that Sierra Leoneans are very peaceful also. They were declared, I think, the most peaceful nation in the world. Huh? Happy people in the world. But they had a war. Amen. Are you listening to me? Yeah. So, a leader must understand. A child does not understand the implication of a book. Like if somebody has written a book. You look at it and say, well, what is it? What is this? It's nothing. He doesn't know what it is. Yeah. So, many of us don't know the implications of things because we are not leaders. So, be careful. Sometimes some of the things you will not know the implications till later. Wow. Are you there? Number three. The leadership of a child is characterized by not understanding anything that is a little complex. Amen. Wow. One leader in a government announced that we will never pay our debts again. We had a leader once who said, we will not pay. But he didn't know the implication of saying something like that. How do you say you will not pay? Are you listening to me? Yes. People don't understand what it means when they are doing certain things. When you make your currency $1 million notes, you have one is 1 million. Hey. You see, in England, I always ask, why don't they have £100 notes? £100 notes. It's not good for the economy to have even 100. That's why America doesn't have $1,000. They have up to $100. They don't increase it. It's a very bad thing to have a currency with a huge amount. So it's not a good thing because it will make people spend in a way and it destroys the currency. Yes. But I know a country, they increase it 1,000, 10,000, 50,000, one note, 1 million, 10 million, 10 billion, 10 trillion. I have one note, $10 trillion. And it is made by somebody who is a leader. So people buy bread with $10 billion. One note like this, $10 billion, give me one bread. Are you listening to me? I'm not going to speak for long, so just bear with me, please. The leadership of a child is characterized by, because children don't understand complex things. Children don't even know how to put a key into a door. So when it comes to church growth, when it comes to church growth, pastors who are not leading, church growth is complex. It's very complex to make your church grow. In this book on church growth, it's a small book, but actually a big book that has been made into a small book. You see many, many factors that affect church growth. It's complex to make people come to a church, to have a larger church, and to let the people stay. It's complicated. You know, one day I went to a country, and I was staying there with my children and my wife. And then when we got, it was a house. And then I asked for the key to the room, the bedroom. They said, no, here we don't have keys to rooms. I said, why? I said, because of children, the laws, that the child may go inside the room and lock himself in the room. So how the child will take the key and put it into the keyhole and turn, he cannot do it. It's too complex for the child. Wow. So a child cannot do something that is complex. So you see that when you have the leadership of a child, the complex aspect, the complexities of making a church grow, you cannot do it. In fact, you are not even interested. When you open and you see so many chapters, say, ah! There are too many things. The letters are too small. There are no pictures in the book. I want a book with big words. Peter and Jane have come. Jane loves Peter. Peter loves Paul. This is all that you want to read. Jane loves Peter. Peter loves Jane. Jane has come. Peter has come. I am eating. I am full. It's too complex. So you see pastors who are poorly that you cannot lead people. Whenever there's something complex. You withdraw. As soon as there's something complex, you withdraw. Yes. It is very complex to build a church and to establish church growth. So many things. The church growth depends on so many things happening. So everybody here, don't run away from the complex things. It's complex to make a country prosper. Very complicated to make South Africa a rich country. Look, we have traveled from Polokwane to Welkom to, Mamelodi to Cape Town to everywhere. We have been all around. South Africa is a huge country with complex problems. It is massive. To make South Africa rich, it's not a small thing. You cannot do it by not understanding complexity. You have to understand. Do you know that all countries which specialize in agriculture are poor? Once you specialize in agriculture, no, you'll be poor. And it is only countries which specialize in agriculture that have famines. You'll be amazed. When you go to a country, you say, what do we have here? So, oh, we are specialists of pineapple. So, wow. We are specialists of coconuts. We are specialists in rubber, like Liberia. Rubber plant. When you go to Liberia, you see rubber plantations everywhere. They are very poor. All the countries that specialize in agriculture, they are all poor countries. Countries that, and they all are all hungry. Countries that don't specialize in agriculture, those are the rich countries. Those who sell iPhone, Samsung, television, this, that, they are not interested in agriculture. They are the ones, they always have food. Those who are always doing farming, they are always hungry. Check it yourself and see. It is very complex to become prosperous. That's why I wrote a book called He That Has. He That Has shall have more. And he that has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him. This is what Jesus Christ said. I didn't say it. So the title of this book is The Words of Jesus Christ. If you read it, you'll be surprised. You'll be amazed. What it means is that, and you can watch, I'll show you. If you like, you can mark it and check if it will happen. That the white man who has money today, in 1994, shall have more money as the years go by. And the black man who doesn't have money, as the years go by, even the one that he has shall be taken away from him. That's what this verse means. Watch it and see. If you like, watch. As South Africa continues to progress, you see that these words of Jesus will happen. And that is why I wrote this book. But you see, some of you, when you look at it, you say, hey, the book is very big. Oh, too big. Oh, no pictures. You will not be interested because it's too complex for you. Because you are one of the bad leaders in Africa. Because it is complicated. The reason why the one who has money as the white man become poorer in South Africa, since apartheid, when have white people become poorer? Have they lost their money? Are they becoming rich? Are they becoming richer? What about the poor people in South Africa? Are they becoming poorer or richer? Poorer! As we've been having the crusades, South Africa has been, we have been to so many countries. We've been to Lesotho, we've been to Swaziland, we've been here, we've been to Liberia, all over. South Africa has been the poorest in offerings. Sometimes a crusade We can have a lot of people, the whole offering, $300. $300, which is like about 1,000 rands. A bit of, how much is that? $300. 1,500 rands, yes. A field full of people. There's no money. But you see, on the outside, it looks as if it's a very great country. But he that has, you will not understand it. He that has shall be given. And he that has not, even what he has. Why? The answer is in the book. If you get the answer, then you can reverse this thing. Yes. It's true. That's why I wrote the book. Because when a woman has a child, if you see, you know, everybody who is a pastor, you will experience that problem. The problem of some of the ladies not having children. Isn't it? It happens. Now, you will see that the one who already has one child or two children is rather more likely to get three children and four children. But the woman who has been married for 6 years, no child, she rather finds it more difficult to have one. And the one who has four will come and four children, she'll come and start crying. I said, what is wrong? She said, I am pregnant. I'm pregnant? This is my curse, my problem. I'm having number five. And here is a lady here, 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, not even one baby. Hey! He that has a job. If you have a job, you are more likely to get another job. Is it not true? Yeah. Those who don't have jobs, they are the ones more like, even when you go and apply, they'll ask you, please, why have you not worked for the last 6 years? And you say, you've not worked for 6 years. I'm afraid of this man. Yeah, I can't trust this guy. Why have you not worked for 6 years? You've not been working the last 6 years. It's complex. But a child doesn't want anything complex. So, pastors, look, let me give you the challenge. Let me give you the challenge. Eh? Let me give you a great challenge. Church growth is the complex problem for pastors. This is the biggest. If you ask me, what has been the most challenging thing for me to do as a pastor is to make my church grow. It's the most difficult, complicated problem of a pastor is to let the church become big. Mega church. Take it as your personal challenge of your life that you will tackle the most complicated problem and issue of church growth. No matter how complex it is, and overcome it in the name of Jesus. So that one day you will stand and see that God has increased me and blessed me with a mighty and a mega church. That will be your story. 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 In the name of Jesus. Amen. That is the complex problem for we as pastors. For presidents and politicians, their complex problem is how to let the country prosper again. That is not our problem. That is their problem. But our problem is let the church grow. But when the church grows, all other things will be working. Yeah. How to make the people come. Yeah. Hey. Now, the leadership of a child is characterized by fun, having fun and celebrations. Children, do children like parties? Mommy, as Susie has a party, can I go for the party? They like party, isn't it? Playing. Isn't it true? Playing. Do you see children building houses? They are only running around, playing, running, playing, fooling, isn't it? Lollipop, music, even young people, music, discos, nightclubs. When the people are young and people are children, it's celebration. So When you have leaders who have the leadership of a child, the main things they are into are celebrations. 20th anniversary, 10th anniversary, celebration of these funerals, funeral celebrations, wedding celebrations, anniversaries of this, anniversaries of that. They'll make cloth, they'll make clothes, banners, flags, food, drinks, music, dancing, playing. Yes, even the governments are like that. You see them. Hey! In Ghana, we have had a different Ghana at 40 years old. Big celebration, t-shirt, this, that, that. All, doing things every time. Anniversaries, running, playing. Fantastic. Mobutu, who was the leader of Congo, he was having more and more parties all the time. Parties upon parties upon parties. And you see, when the person who is the leader is a child, you see that that thing is part of him. Do you know any people like that? Do you know any people like that in South Africa who are leaders who like party, playing, celebrations, anniversaries, dancing, music, happiness, all? But you see, you notice that white people don't do those things much. Yeah. It's only certain people. I don't want to say who they are. They do those things. In Ghana now, when you die, they make invitation cards like it's a wedding. They celebrate 1 week after you die. There is a 1 week celebration. I tell you, they have invitation cards with food. With this, with that. Dinners. They will not bury you now. They will bury you later. Hey! You can stay in the fridge for 3 months. You can stay in the fridge for 6 months. Even 1 year, you can stay in the fridge. The funeral will be later. And when they do the funeral, wow! People go for bank loans. They go to the bank for loan to do the funeral. It's one of the common loans in Ghana. Loan for funeral. It's one of the common loans. When somebody is going for a loan from the bank, one of the common loans is loan to have a funeral. Hey, the party, the food, this, the people who are coming, the dressing, the family wear this, these people wear that, this one wear this. On Friday, we wear this. On Saturday, we wear this. We have this invitation card playing, renting places. Wow! I saw one African funeral. The man's wife died. Or is it his wife died or his wife? And they buried him in a car, in a hammer. A car. They put him in an expensive car, beautiful car, and put it in and buried the car as the person is buried in the car. Air-conditioned car, yes, it's put inside. The car, I'll show you picture. Yes. Africa, this Africa. Celebrations, showing off. Fun. Number five, the leadership of a child is associated with loving toys. Toys. Do children love toys? When you have a leadership of a child, you see they have a lot of toys. Mobile phones. Wow, latest phone, cars. Cars are that. Hey! When they come into power, car, new car, this time, this one, this one, this one, this one. You see Africans with the wildest cars, but no houses. Wildest cars. Hey! Many, many cars. Because they are the toys of prosperity. Yes. You see them twice. But you go to Switzerland, the president uses a bicycle to go to work. He drives the bicycle. The president. President goes with bicycle. But at other time, they have toys. The toys are the cars, phones, girls, drinking, wow, celebrating. Nothing is developed. Yeah. But, you know, do you know any people like that in the world? Do you have such a... Pastors! You see pastors with cars! Hey! And the mortgage you are paying on the car every month, the whole church's offering is not even enough to pay your monthly payment of these cars. But you have to have these very expensive cars to show off. Because it's their toys as a pastor. You need it as a toy. Because you are a child in a big position. You are a child who has been elevated to a high position of a pastor. And as a child, you must have toys. You must have mobile phones, cars, any other games and toys you can have, aeroplanes. Yes. You owe this, but you must impress people. You come out and you stand by your shiny car. You see, my car is nicer than your car. Pew, 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 pew. No church building. Televisions, this, everything. Plenty. Number six. Leadership of a child is characterized by the inability to find practical and realistic problems solutions to problems. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Practical solutions. What is the practical solution to the problems of our nations? Right now, South Africa has a lot of problems. We need, look, practical solutions. You see, when Nelson Mandela came out of prison, he needed a practical solution for South Africa. And the practical solution was to forgive the white people. That was like practically, what shall we do? Yes, it's like practically, just forget about whatever has happened. Because to go into it, can never end. And that is why Iraq is never ending. Afghanistan is not ending. Syria is not ending. All these places cannot end. You bomb me, I will bomb you. You kill me, I will kill you. Like that. We are going. Hey. Today, South Africa has a lot of problems. Crime, drugs, what else? Poverty, jobs, all these shacks and shanty towns and all these, they are practical problems which need practical solutions on the ground. You would have thought that 20 years after your freedom, we will not see this type of structures made out of roofing sheets anymore. But it's right there at the airport when you come out of Cape Town, right, it's here. More. And if you don't take care, 50 years from now, there will be more bigger. Are they bigger now? Are there more of these things now? It's extending. A child doesn't know how to even use a fork. Sometimes when I was feeding my daughter, I see that how to cut it. Just to cut, she cannot cut it. So I have to take and cut. Is it not true? A child cannot do so. You cut it. Because just but how to hold them and take it here. They can't do it. They'll be sitting there. This is the food. Cut and eat it piece by piece. They cannot do it. This is the food. Here is the mouth. how to practically move it from here to here. They cannot do it. In Africa, you see the food is there. The mouth is there. How to take it? The money is in the country. You think South Africa is a poor country? South Africa is such a beautiful country. I don't know if there's any country as beautiful as South Africa. Hey, you think there's no money in South Africa? It's money. South Africa is the best example of Africa that there can be prosperity in Africa. Yeah. But unfortunately, the prosperity is just a few people. It was with the white and it's becoming more white. Prosperity is becoming more white. And more few blacks. And most people don't have anything. Here is the gold. Here is the mouth. How to put it in? Oh. Practically, roll up your sleeve and do it. When I started writing books, no American want to publish my books. No American, because I'm from Africa. They don't want anybody from Africa. Yes. Even if they look at you and they see your color. So that's why my book, I don't put my picture on. I don't want to. Because when you see the colors, that, oh, I'm not a white man. So, oh, black man doesn't know anything. Who are you going to write a book? So you have to be practical to have practical solutions. And today, so many people are reading my books. Even though Americans are not published, because I've found practical ways. Practical. Here is the food, here is the mouth. Put it in. Put it in. Many of us are not practical. No pastors, we want to be high executive. You want to behave like a prime minister. In your big car, expensive looking. You can't do practical things. You can't work. Eh? You only have to stay in hotels and top class and look executive of big shots. But to come down to earth and practically do something, no. You are too big. Sometimes you ask, are you a prime minister or a shepherd? Are you a prime minister or are you a shepherd? Wow. Number 8, the leadership of a child is characterized by a lack of concentration. Can children concentrate for a long time? After a few minutes, they stop and they do something else. Many pastors cannot concentrate on the church. You can't concentrate on the church. Concentrate on this church and let the thing work. That's why a lot of pastors in South Africa say they are doing business. You do church small and do business small, and you are not also becoming rich. You only have debts. You only having more debts in your life. Bank loans and mortgages. And mortgage is not prosperity, it's debt. Mortgage is nothing. Once you owe money, you are a poor man. If you owe the bank, you are poor. Yes. You see, pastors, you see, when it's a child, you look at this, eh? You go here, so, eh? They go here. You can't concentrate. You look at certain presidents, and today they are here, then they are going to China, then they'll come, they'll go to Germany, then they come and they go here, and their own country to go around to the problem and concentrate on the country. They cannot do it. They don't do it. You not see them doing it. Only election, then they start going around. To come to the place where is the problem, practically, and concentrate on the real thing. Always doing something else. One day, a white man was a president in the United Nations, and he came to a certain country. I don't want to mention the name of the country, but the country is in Africa, not South Africa. The country is in Africa. And they wanted to make a big investment in the port to do something to help the country. So they asked the minister of the one in charge that he wants to go there. They want to go there. So they went there. And the minister of state, he had been a minister for 8 years. When they got there, he said, "This is the first time I've come here. I mean, this is the first time you have come there. As you are the one in charge for 8 years, the most important thing in your setup, which even the white people have decided to come and invest in, you have never been there before. And you see, pastors, you have never been to your church member's house before. You have never visited your church member. You have never gone to wait on God. You have never gone to see God to pray and wait on God for Him to bless. But you are doing business and every other scatterbrain objective, you are following it. But your real calling, instead of concentrating on it, no. That's a child. He cannot concentrate. Do you know people like that in South Africa? Do you have politicians like that too? Going here. Only elections. Number 9, leadership of a child is characterized by fighting over position. You see the children. Ha! I'm sitting by the door. If you have a number of children, you see them crying and say, "I'm sitting by the door. No, I said it first. I'm the one sitting by the door. I don't know what." And therefore, I said, "I'll sit by the door. I'm sitting in the middle." Or if they are going to bath and there's only one bathroom, they say, I'm bathing first. I've booked the bath. I said it first. He's come. When I said it first, he's come now. Like that. Fighting over place and position. And you see, big manism. Now you see pastors come big shot. I have to sit in the front. I have to sit here. One day I had a program and there were some pastors there and I didn't let one of the pastors sit in front. They sat on the next. Hey, it was a big problem. Eesh. I have to apologize. And you don't show me respect. Who do you know what I am? This and that. Wow. And when we have crusade, we have a lot of problem with respect pastors. You don't respect me. I'm the main person in this city. If you have it in this church, I'm not coming. If you do it in this church, because I'm the father of the town. I'm the main man. I'm the man of God here. I came first. He came second. My church is first. His one is second. Hey! If you go to say, "I'm not coming." If you go there, "I'm not coming." If you sit there and say, "I'm sitting there for, I'm the main person. I should be the chairman. You should be the vice chairman. He is no one. I am the one. I'm the first. I'm the..." And so what? You are a child. You are a child. You are a child. I booked the bath first. I booked the door. I'm sitting by the door. I booked the door. Wow. You're always afraid of offending people. So when he spoke, he did not mention my name properly. Does he not know that I'm a right reverend doctor? But he only said reverend. He should have said right reverend doctor. Wow. Meanwhile, your doctorship is not a real doctor. It's not a real doctor. You bought the doctor certificate for $200. By email. You became a doctor by email. I've booked the door. I'm sitting by the door. I'm batting first. Wow. All I'm, please, I'm teaching from this book, The Art of Leadership, chapter 6. I'm not saying it especially for you. It's chapter 6, this one. Hey! Number 10. Leadership of a child is characterized by the need for incentives like sweets. Sometimes your child is eating. You say, well, look, if you eat, I'll give you lollipop. I'll give you ice cream. Open your mouth and eat. And I'll give you ice cream after. Okay, go and do your work. After you do your work, I'll give you ice cream. I'll buy a toy for you. Watch TV. Is it not true? Is it not children? Many people in government, you have to give them money to do their work. You have to bribe them. You have to give them incentives. Hey, take this money and then you do your... Your work is to lead us and to make us prosper, but you have to bribe them to do what even they are supposed to do already. And pastors, many pastors, to do something, we have to give you money. How much am I going to get for this crusade committee that I'm a part of? We went to have a crusade somewhere. They told us, this committee you are asking us to be on, what are we going to get? We said, oh, nothing. There is nothing to get. We are working for the Lord. They said, no. When Bonke came here, they gave us all laptops. All the members of committee had laptops. Are we going to get laptops each? We want to know laptop. We must all have laptops. Wow. How much are you giving us for sitting on committee meeting? Is it 500 rand or 1,000 rand for sitting on your committee to be a chairman? Chairman is 10,000. Ordinary member is 1,000. Wow! We have to give you ice cream before you do what you have to do as a good Christian. That is a child. But none of the committee members here are like that. I know that. Clap for them. Nobody asked for money here. But many places, people want something before. That's why pastors don't go and preach at places. Places that need you, you will never go there. Because they don't have money to give you when you preach. How much are you giving me? You know my anointing is very big. My anointing is very big. Before I come here, it's not a small thing. You have to know who you are inviting. My anointing is a senior anointing. Wow. So many of these things are characteristics of children. And I'm not going to continue because I believe you can already see that some of them apply to you. Then we have the leadership of a woman. Yeah. The leadership of a woman is characterized by pettiness and quarreling. Women are more quarrelsome than men, by far. By far. You know yourselves. There would have been no quarrels if there were no women. Hey! If the ladies could take the microphone from my hand, they would seize it by force and also preach. But I am the one holding the microphone. Philippians chapter 4 verse 2. I want to plead with those two women, Eudia and Syntyche. Please, because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. And I ask you, my true teammate, to please help these women, for they work hard with me in telling others the good news. And they work with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are written in the book of life. I want to plead with those two women, Eudia and Syntyche. Philippians 4 verse 2. Eudia and Syntyche. Because you belong to the Lord, settle your disagreement. Even in the time of Apostle Paul, there were two girls quarreling in the church. Try not to be quarrelsome as a lady. Amen. You are too nice to be quarrelsome. You are so pretty. Eh? So attractive. So nice. Why should you quarrel? Expose your beauty. Is it not true? It subtracts from your niceness when you are quarrelsome. Sometimes you see that's why some husbands don't have sex with their wives anymore. Because she's beautiful, but the quarreling has removed the beauty. When you see her, you see something nasty. Hey! And when a pastor has the leadership of a woman, he's very quarrelsome. Anything you can offend him. Hey! When you do this, you shouldn't have done it. But why do you, when you were preaching, why do you point your finger at me like that? I don't like a pointing. Don't point at me again, please. Hey! I didn't know you were sitting in the front. Otherwise, I wouldn't have pointed at you. Everything you, before you apologize, sorry about this, sorry about this, sorry about this, sorry about this, sorry about so many things you have to apologize. Pettiness. Pettiness. Quarreling. How do you say it in Tosa? Pettiness. Kabalu. You're offended by so many things. Everything offends you. Why is he holding his book? Why is he advertising his book? Why is he telling people this? Who does he think he is? Why is he saying Nelson Mandela is a good leader? Does he know there were other people who were better than Nelson Mandela? Oh. Everything offends you. Because you are a woman in a man's clothing. The leadership of a woman is characterized by jealousy. The Bible says, for he knew that the chief priest had delivered him for envy. Pastors can be some of the most jealous people. The Bible says Jesus was handed over to Pilate because of envy. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. Priests handed him over. They were jealous of the attention and the crowds. Mark 15 verse 10. Mark 15 verse 10. Yes. Jealousy. Pastors are envious. When this one's church is working, they say, oh, don't mind him. This and that. So why even this crusade is nothing? Oh, who is this person? Oh, what book is this? We have other books written by South Africans. Why do they say this? What is that? What are all these? What are all these way of talking? Where did you learn it from? Priests. Priests. These are words of priests. The priest handed Jesus over, Mark 15 verse 10, because of envy. Chief priests. Pastors are some of the most jealous people. When you see your fellow pastor doing well, don't be jealous. Just say, let me learn something from this man. What is he doing? That is... Well, let me learn something from him. Yeah. Many of us South Africans, you criticize foreigners or Nigerians. You even criticize Nigerians. Yeah. Nigerian has come to start a church here. You are criticizing him. I want to say something before you criticize her. I've never seen any South African. You say you are great South African pastors. I've never seen any South African pastor in any country apart from South Africa starting a church. I'm waiting to see how South Africa will reach the whole world. And South African pastors will rise up and go into all the world and fulfill the Great Commission, even just in Lesotho or just in Zimbabwe or just in Malawi, that you see that, you see that big church over there, it's a South African pastor. He came from Mtata. He came to start a church here in 1974. He has been there. You do see that big church in Harare? It started by a South African pastor. He came from Johannesburg, has been here for 23 years. I've never seen one before. Never, never. I've just said Madagascar. So you see that church in Antananarivo in Madagascar is a South African pastor. He came from Cape Town in 1986. He has been here for 21 years. He's not, have you seen one before? Never. You are just in yourselves, amongst yourselves here. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. When the Bible says, and you shall receive power after the Spirit comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, South Africa, in Judea, which is Malawi and Botswana, and into Samaria, which is Madagascar and Ghana and Nigeria, and the uttermost part of the world, which is China and Taiwan and Indonesia. I've never seen even one South African pastor. And you are rather ministering your jealousy of Nigerians and Ghanaians and other ministers who have come from other countries to come and start churches here. Instead of speaking out of envy, turn around and examine yourself and say, why don't I also rise up and go to another nation and preach the gospel there and plant churches and win souls? Which spirit are you having? Which spirit are you having? Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit? Look, if the Holy Spirit is on you, I will tell you something. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes. And the next thing is that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Then the next time I'll see you in Judea. And the next time I'll see you in Samaria. And the next time I'll see you in the uttermost parts of the earth. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit working in your churches, in your lives, in your ministries. What spirit do you have? What spirit are you having? I challenge whether you have the Holy Spirit. By the scripture, whether it's the Holy Spirit that is working in you. Instead of speaking out of the spirit of envy, you examine yourself. In Ghana, we have a lot of churches from Nigeria. They've come to Ghana. And I said, I'm also going to send a church to Nigeria. Hey, I've started churches in Nigeria, building church buildings in Nigeria. Instead of sitting down to criticize, oh, these Nigerians, they have come to... No! Shut your mouth, you envious pastor. I said, shut your mouth, you envious pastor. And follow the Holy Spirit. And go to the ends of the earth and preach the gospel. Envy. The leadership of a woman characterized by envy. And the spirit of envy. You see them talking about it. Look at how. Sometimes you come to a church, a lady is getting married. And you see some ladies at home. She's not even beautiful. She's not even beautiful. She doesn't know how to walk. And her dress is whatever. You are just jealous, my dear. You are just jealous. Because she's getting married and you are not getting married. Yeah, she's getting married. You are not getting married. Yeah. I don't know where this man saw this girl. How did he marry such a girl? She's not nice. I know a lot of girls who are fine. How did he get married to that girl? It's your jealousy. Your jealousy. Yes. He has been sleeping with her. I know. Wow. Envy. Wow. So pastors, many of us have this type of bad leadership strategies. Amen. Are you still around? Now, one of the next important things about leadership is reading. reading. Again, children don't read. What do? They play. But why must a minister read? A minister must read because every leader loves books. Somebody said, if you want to hide a secret from a black man, put it in a book. He will never see it. Because he will never open the book. But from today, you have become the number one reading Christian and reading leader. You see, every leader knows that a book contains, I'm giving you maybe 6 reasons, 7 reasons, but you listen carefully. A book contains something that can make the difference in your life. Amen. Your whole life. Luke 11, verse 52. Luke 11, verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers. Woe unto you, lawyers. You have taken away the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering you hindered. You have taken away the key of knowledge. Everybody say the key of knowledge. Knowledge is the greatest key. Amen. So leaders know that knowledge is a key. And that's why Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees and he said that you have taken away the key of knowledge. Yeah. Key of knowledge. Knowledge is a key to enter to many areas. Yeah. And you see, the knowledge you have will make the difference in your life and your ministry. The knowledge you don't have will keep you out of ministry, out of everything that you desire. Knowledge. Amen. That is why, when you throw away people who know how to do things, you fool yourself. You see, you must know your limitations. And that is one of the great things about Nelson Mandela. He came out of the prison which he had been kept for 27 years by white people. And he came into the position of power. And he knew that the South Africa that he was entering in to was different from the South Africa that he was put into prison 27 years ago. It was a massive, almost a first world country. Yes. And the key of knowledge, how to run this place. If you throw it away, if you throw away the white man and what he knows how to do, all over the world, the poorest, what they call the dark continent, without roads, without development, without education, poverty, without water, without light, without, it's Africa in the whole world. If you travel, you will see what I'm saying. But now, if you only go to South Africa, you are so limited in what you can experience. Yes. Knowledge opens you up. And you change so much when you know. When you don't know, you're happy. that you don't know, that you don't even know. And Jesus says, what to you? You have taken away the key. So the key to your ministry, the key to your destiny. You see, that is why some of you are doing business in the ministry. You do ministry, it's more you do business. You see, and you say you have a crossover ministry. You have a crossover ministry. You are just that you are not able to do the ministry properly. You are a poor, deficient minister. That is why you are doing these things. Yes. But if you have the key of knowledge, look, I am both a doctor and a pastor. I can tell you it is more difficult to be a pastor than to be a doctor. More. You may not believe it. This one is also a doctor. Which one is easier to be? This is actually a specialist. I'm not a specialist. He is a specialist. Is it more difficult?
Yes, to be a pastor is a very difficult thing. It is more difficult than being a doctor. After 7 years of medical school, practicing as a doctor, to be a pastor is more difficult. To
work. Tell the truth.
Truth. To work.
Cross your heart and shame the devil.
To work as a pastor, to grow a church, to build a church, to take care of members, to make sure they are okay, going to heaven. No.
More difficult. Did you study books to become a doctor?
Yes, I studied many books in anatomy, biochemistry, physiology, pharmacology, surgery, virology, parasitology, bacteriology, pharmacology, psychiatry, medicine, obstetrics, gynecology, otorhinolaryngology, community health, internal medicine, psychiatry, all. And to be a, after,
and you needed the key of knowledge to become a doctor.
Oh yes. So I studied all that to be, and I also wrote exams at different levels to be a
doctor. And you are saying that to be a pastor is more difficult.
Yes. To be a pastor of human beings, men and women who have got problems, because a doctor also takes care of people with problems. Headache, hypertension, diabetes. But the problems, the spiritual problems of a human being are more complex than diabetes, hypertension. But right now, many people don't even go and see doctors. You can be in your room, go on the internet. You plug in the things you are sick of. Headache, one eye is paining me, left chest. You put it there, then the diagnosis will come. And the medicine will come. So many people don't even see a doctor. But the spiritual problem, there's nowhere you can type into a computer, I've got this and that. No. It's complex. You must be, it's high, very, very high. It's very, very high.
So if to become a doctor, you needed to study all these things, how much more to become something that is more difficult than being a doctor? Will you not need to study and know more things in, like the Macarios that we are offering you here, right here? Yes. These books are being presented to you as a very special, all this, what it means to be a shepherd. Huh? That's the otorhinolaryngology. What it means to be a shepherd. The art of shepherding over there. And the art of following. Amplifying your ministry. How to make your ministry bigger. Transform your ministry. Transform your pastoral ministry. Those of you came late. You didn't get a chance to hear the first session. Losing, suffering, and dying. What it means for us in the church. All these things have to do with the ministry. Loyalty and disloyalty. Those who pretend. These are the people who spoil churches. Those who pretend. Those who leave you. They are those who spoil churches. Those who forget. Those who are ignorant. Those who are dead. And some of you, you don't even know what it means. You don't even know what it means. Yeah. You know? One pastor, he took this book. Somebody introduced it to him. And he was reading. He said, loyalty and disloyalty. I have 7 books on this topic. 7 books. He said, we don't need to read this book. Loyalty is not something you have to teach. It's something that you command by your lifestyle. But it was because, you see, his church was very small. Later on, his church grew and he had certain issues. Yes. After I saw him, he told me that the book that I've written, he has seen that it's a very important book. And now he told me, if I need a salesman to sell my book, he would like to be one of the sales people. Somebody who said the book was not necessary. Yes. But it is because you don't know much about ministry. You are not at a certain level. Yeah. But if the church is to grow, it's going to have certain things. Thank you. So there are seven of such books here. All these, we are making them available. Now, I'm talking about reading. Reading gives you the key of knowledge. Martin Luther encountered this key of knowledge many years ago. He was a priest, a Catholic priest. And the Catholics in those days were selling salvation virtually. If you want to be saved, you have to. There were some steps they put it in a room. When you walk on it, you get saved. Can you imagine walking on steps to be saved? Do you know why those steps were special steps called the Sancta Scala? They were the steps that they said Jesus stood on when Pontius Pilate was declaring the judgment. Jesus was standing on those steps. So those steps, you walk on it on your knees, and then you get salvation. So Martin Luther, these were the things he believed. They were selling milk. They said this milk is the milk from the virgin's breast. Virgin Mary's breast. Tooth from lion, Daniel in the lion's den. I myself went to Cologne. I saw in the cathedral there. When I got to the cathedral, at the front, there was something yellow shining up in the air. It was very far, about 100 meters long. When I walked to the front and I saw, can you guess what I saw? Three coffins, golden coffins, lifted up in the air, surrounded by glass with lights in Germany, Catholic Church. And so I asked, what are these? They said, oh, these are the coffins of the three wise men who came to see Jesus when he was born. And these are the things that when you see, you get saved. So Martin Luther was struggling with all these doctrines. When you read the life of Martin Luther, you'll be amazed. He was struggling with all these doctrines. Then one day the senior pastor said, this guy is going a bit off. It's better that we send him to a Bible school to be a lecturer in the Bible school. So they transferred him to a Bible school to go and lecture students who are trying to become priests. So when he was sent to the Bible school, he was given lecturing on Ephesians, Romans, and Psalms. So he started reading Ephesians. When he started reading, he had never read it before. A priest has not read it before. Because the Catholics were reading more of their catechism and other, they have their own books, not the Bible. So when he started reading Ephesians, he said, by grace are you saved. And not by works of righteousness. He was shocked. He said, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you shall be saved. Romans 5, for we are justified by faith. What? Justified by, so it means stepping on these steps is not leading me to salvation. Sancta Scala. Milk from the virgin's breast and these three wise men and all these things. He was shocked. That is what brought about the Reformation. The key of knowledge which came through reading. What he already had reading. He read it for the first time. And there he was shocked. And he had the key that entered into the reformation of the entire worldwide church. So you see that books can transform your whole life. Just a book that somebody gives you. So when you see pastors looking at a book and say, how much is it, please? Okay, you say it is 100 rand. Okay. Give me anyway 2 samosas and 1 Coca-Cola, please. And they go and buy food. Chisanyama. They go and buy something else. Yes. But to spend 100 rands. Hallelujah. No pictures. No pictures in the book. The writing is too small. What you don't know is the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. You see me standing here and preaching today? I tell you, behind me is almost 2,000 churches that God has given me in the ministry. Yes. If you Google largest churches in Ghana, you see my name there. Largest churches in Ghana and in many countries. Yeah. Churches. Yeah. I was nowhere and somebody came to me and gave me a book. When he gave me the book, I started to read it. It was a small book. Wow! I was surprised. This is powerful. And then I said, what else has he written, Kenneth Hagin? That's why I made the box. Because I know that once you read one, you want to know what else. Because maybe there is something somewhere else that you even need more than the one you read. Yes. And I started to read. And I became so blessed. And I started reading, but I didn't even know what I was doing. I was reading. Then I started to listen to the preaching. That is why I also brought these materials for you. Makane. Especially this one, the Makane or the Makane Ion. Alright, there are different ones. Makane, for listening, hearing. I started to listen to Kenneth Hagin preaching and teaching and reading. Hey, the key of knowledge. Everybody say, the key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. The key of knowledge. One day, I was in 1988, I was in a town called Suhum in Ghana. I was just a medical student. I had about 25 members in my church. And one night, I was praying. I knelt down in the room. There was a tape recorder over there where the box is. And the tape recorder was playing Kenneth Hagin's tape up and down throughout the night. I fell asleep and I woke up. In the middle of the night, when I got up, I was still kneeling down and praying. Something jumped out of the tape. Something jumped from the tape and entered me. And then I heard a voice. And the voice said, from today, you can teach. From today. This was in 1988. Yeah, 1988. That was the day I became anointed. I was 25 years old. That was the day I became anointed to preach. He said, from this day, from today, you can teach. I had just about 25 people in my church. You see, the Bible says that it is not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. It's not by force, it's not by might, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the power by which I'm standing in Umtata today. Yes. Yes. And I'm teaching you in Umtata. These books have published more than 11 million of them. Million. Not thousand. Not thousand. 2,000. Millions. I have been invited all over. And I'm still being invited all the time. Come and preach from the book. We read your book. You see, the power that came on my life empowered me to teach. So even when I'm preaching at a crusade, I'm teaching. Yeah. You notice it. If you listen, you see that he's teaching something. It's a power. And you see, it came, started with a book. I was introduced because a book contains the key of knowledge. So that's why any opportunity to have the key of knowledge by somebody who knows what knowledge does, will know that you are being given. The day that I was going to that town, I passed by a bookshop. I thought I was becoming a doctor. And I passed. You see, I had to go to that town because it was part of the schoolwork. Medical school, I was in my final year. You have to work in a rural hospital for 1 month as part of the training. So I had to go there. But when I was going, I decided to pass a bookshop, a Christian bookshop, to buy something that I can be listening to. So I went to pass by June 1988, and I picked it. You see, and I didn't know I was picking my life, my ministry. I didn't know I was picking my cars, and the trucks, the churches, everything. I was picking it was in that thing. Because the day that I knelt down, and that power came over my life, and he said, from today, I heard it clearly. He said, from today, you can. In other words, today I have made you to be able to teach. Yeah. So that meant that I could teach in a church, and the church would grow. That 25 people in a classroom. You see, when I talk about transforming your pastoral ministry, my church, I was in a classroom. No, there was a school, and we had one of the classrooms. Yeah. Nobody was coming to the church. When I say transform, when you talk about transformation, it's like a butterfly. A butterfly is start from a worm, and it changes into something that can fly. Can this come from this? It came from this. The ministry that God has for you is nothing that you are seeing today. It's not compared with that at all. It's something that flies. It's something that rises. It's something that goes above the contours of this earth. It's a power. It's a power. It's a great thing. Many of us have been cut short. Our ministries are small because you have been cut out of the key of knowledge. But the day that thing was given to me, I was introduced into ministry. Yeah, by Kenneth Hagin. And I've been listening to him since then. And that anointing that came on me. Look, sometimes, you know, pastors even don't recognize anointing. Many times. Sometimes it is unbelievers who recognize. Yes. Do you know that Muslims have more recognized the power of God in Healing Jesus campaign than even Christians? Yes. All over we've gone. You see Muslims will gather. They come for healing. We have had mayors of cities. Muslims, they come and they receive us. They say, they tell us, we need healing. We need it. Imams, they come to our crusades. They come for healing. I tell you. They say, so we know. We can see there's power here. Power. Power. Ish. That power and that key. You see, the ministries we are having today, look, it's a far cry from what God's intention is. He has something great in store if you are ready to take on the key of knowledge and expose yourself to seeds. The day I picked that thing, I didn't know I was even picking the aeroplane tickets of my future ministry, the tickets to fly. So many places I've been. So many places I've been. I didn't know I was picking the key of knowledge. Look, today, everybody here must see a book as a seed in your life. Yes. And you know what is? This time, you are the field. And you have to put the seed into you. Yeah. You see, when a woman wants to become pregnant, what she does, because she knows she's the field. She knows she's the field. She knows she needs the planting of the seed in her. So she'll try to be a little nice. Hello. She tries to be a little nice. Yes. Sometimes she wants the seed. She wants the plantation. Maybe she's not even pleasant in her real life. But because she wants a seed, she opens up. She wants what?
A seed to be planted in her. Yes.
What a word.
A seed. You see, people don't know how valuable a seed is. One day, there was a man who had race horses. Horses that run in races. Do you have something like that in South Africa? Race courses. Okay. Do you have something in Umtata? Okay. Race course. And the horse was a very, 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 very good horse in America. He was the number one, I think, in the whole world. And one day the owner said, "This my horse may fall down and break the leg." My father used to have race horses. And one day the horse took off. It was the biggest race with the biggest prize. And after 100 meters, the horse fell and the leg broke and came out. It was a terrible thing. Yeah. Anyway, so this man said, "My horse may fall down and break the leg." So he decided to keep the horse in the house and advertise that anybody who has a female horse, you can bring your horse for crossing with my horse. 1 weekend, I will charge for weekend with my horse. Plant a seed. Just a seed. Do you know how much he charged for weekend for planting of seed? Huh? Do you know how much it was to bring? You've got a female horse, you bring it, and I plant, my horse will be planting. Do you know how much it was to plant? $2 million, which is 28 million rands for 1 weekend. Just a weekend with the horse for implantation. Yeah. To have sex. 28 million rands. For a seed. Because, you see, what you people don't realize is a seed is a very valuable thing. Very valuable. If it is planted and it works, that's it. Look at me. I'm standing here today. We have so many churches and pastors that we are able to come here for a crusade. Yeah, you even ask, why don't we go back? Our churches will, when we go back, our churches are still there. Yeah. Cathedrals built and dedicated without debts and mortgages. Yes. So I'm explaining to you, my friend, please, don't joke with the seed that is being planted in you. The key of knowledge is being put in your hand. You will be able to go in and you will enter into miracles. You enter into church growth. You enter into finances. You enter into whatever it is that you need by the key of knowledge and wisdom. When Jesus came to this earth and was doing mighty works, what did the people say? "What wisdom is this that such mighty works are wrought by his hands?" What wisdom is this? Why did, and Matthew 13, it says, "And whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" Where did he get this kind of wisdom from? Where did he get this wisdom and these mighty works? Wow. Whence has this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Some of you saw miracles last night. We have been seeing fantastic. A lady came, she said she was blind. She could not see even her plate food. They told her, meat is at 12 o'clock. They arranged the food in 4 parts. Meat is at 12 o'clock. Potato is at 3:15. Cabbage is at 12:30. And pumpkin at 2:15. She said, this was a plate. They told her. She said, "I can see." She said, "I can see." Fantastic. I can see. Yeah.
Yes. The key, he says, the key of knowledge. You have taken away the key of knowledge. And I want to encourage everybody, open your heart to knowledge. Don't say to yourself, I know. Because the Bible says it is better to be a little child than an old king who can no longer be admonished. Like, you can't say anything to this old king. He's like above speaking to. No. Open your heart. Because I'm telling you, you listen to me. God is going to raise up some young people in South Africa. They are going to become the greatest pastor South Africa has ever known. Yes. They shall come from your midst. They shall run from your midst. They shall be people you have no regard for. They shall be men you don't know. They shall be men you have no respect for. They shall not be ordained by you or appointed by you, but the Lord himself shall appoint them. And the Lord himself shall ordain them. And the Lord himself shall use them. And they shall cause a stirring and a harvest in this nation. They shall come from the midst of you and shall do great works. For the nation shall be turned around for Christ through these men. Yea, it is a matter of time. It's a matter of time. Your eyes shall see. Your eyes shall see the great things that the Lord shall do and shall wrought in your land and in your time. For he will surely come to pass that the harvest shall be reaped. Nothing can hold back, says the Spirit, what I shall do and what I intend to do. No man can block it. Men and ancient men and old women cannot block what the Lord shall do. For the Lord shall do it. He shall do it. He shall do it. Wonders. 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 Great accomplishments of the kingdom. Great churches. Great ministries. Great things shall come to pass. Great men shall be raised up. For many of them shall be young. Many of them shall be unknown. Many of them shall be nobodies. They shall not be appointed or ordained by men. For I, the Lord, shall ordain them and appoint them and send them forth and use them in the nation. Shando sapala basando prakabala bara. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Says the Spirit of the Lord, get ready. For I shall do wonders. I shall do great and mighty things in the land. I shall raise them up. I shall call them myself. I shall give them visions myself. I myself will call them. I myself will anoint them. I myself will use them. Yay, says the Spirit. For it is your opportunity to join this harvest, or you shall be left behind. A wave of glory. A wave of glory cometh. But it is your duty to join the wave. It is your duty not to miss the wave. Don't miss the wave. Don't miss the flow. Don't miss the light. Don't miss the revelation. Don't miss the season. For the season cometh and is now, says the Spirit of the Lord. South Africa shall not be left to demons. South Africa shall not be left to devils. South Africa shall not fall to evil powers. But the Christ, the Lord of lords and the King of kings, shall stand up over the nation. And shall cause mercy and a harvest to flow over the nation. And a blessing shall come. A blessing. For I shall send gifts. I shall send gifts. I shall send gifts unto men. I shall give gifts. Gifts to men. I shall give gifts to men. Says the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, lift your hand and thank God. Thank God for what mighty, mighty, wonderful, great things. Great things. Great things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Father, thanks a million for the blessing of receiving your wonderful words tonight into our lives. We give you thanks. We give you praise. In Jesus. Thanks for South Africa, Lord. South Africa, we thank you, will not fall into the hand of monsters and devils and demons. Mercy is determined. Forgiveness is determined. Grace is multiplied in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to end my short session here today by introducing to you this book. I think there are so many different announcements that have been made about registration. But this is a special, the reason I'm sharing with you about the key of knowledge is because God sent his son, Jesus, and he ministered to us for just 3 years. But he's left us a book, the Bible. And if you will be very honest, all you know about God is from that book. It is through the book that you have come to this place where you are sitting. It's a book. So even as we've come, we can stay here for some hours, but we have to leave. But the book and the books is the greatest blessing. And I know there is power in these books. Look, recently a pastor, I met a man, I didn't know him, I don't even know his name. He just told me, let me introduce myself, in Kenya. He said to me, I never knew you had written more books. I thought you had written only one book, this one, Mega Church. He said, my wife and I got this book and we started reading it in our sitting room. We said, we were not pastors. That's why, you know, that like the prophecy that just came, God is going to raise people who are not been appointed by people. This guy was not appointed by anybody. In his room, he said, look, we only had this book, so we just follow the things in the book. Everything we read, we do it. There's even a chapter that says how to start a church. They said there's a chapter about the prayers you should pray. He said, we followed everything. He says, today, we started in our sitting room, my wife and I, 700 people that are sitting in the church. And it's more than this room here. It's more than this room here. 700 every Sunday morning. That was some years ago, he told me. He said, I never knew you had written even another. I thought your only book you had written in the world is this book, Mega Church. There is great power in these books. One of my pastors went to Fiji. Do you know Fiji? It's an island. Vijay Singh comes from there. When he got there, he put his passport down. When he saw Ghana, he said, Ghana? You are from Ghana? He said, there is a famous pastor from Ghana. Every pastor in Fiji reads his books. He said, who is that? He said, Dag Hayward Mills. I've never been to Fiji. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anybody in Fiji. I mean, we now have a church there. I didn't know. He said, there is a pastor. They're all reading his books. So this book I've learned by experience, apart from God told me to write, because a lot of pastors say God told them to write. A lot of pastors say God told them to write. But I've learned from experience that there is power in the books. And I'm recommending the books to you. Not just to have it. That is useless. But to read it and to listen to these messages which are available, because it will help you. I can only share what I know. You see, Peter said, I don't have silver, I don't have gold, but such as I have, I give it to you. And today, this cost $240 or $250. $240. That's the price of this. Times 14 is what? It's about $200. 3,000 something dollars. Yeah. Huh? Yeah. 4,000. Yeah. Rands. For the sets. It's 40 books. But what I've decided to do as a very special thing for Mtata is that for all those who register, if you register for this conference, we are going to give this set, the whole set of this book to you. If you register and register with $50 only. $50 only. You are going to get this. Which means that one book costs 17 rands. Have you heard of a book costing 17 rands before? There's nothing like that anywhere. Yes. For this, the whole of this.
Why? Because I know what is a book. I didn't come here to do business. I came here to be a blessing. And if God has shown me church growth, God has shown me loyalty, God has shown me whatever, it is my work. It is not my business. It is my work to give it to you. And that is why I'm giving this to you at nothing. It's just take it. Because obviously it costs something. And the people can't believe. Some of you who were in Soweto, who bought this year, it's $240. They bought it, $240. That's the price. That's the real price. Don't tell anybody. When you tell them, it causes even a problem. It's a special blessing for Imtata. Yes. Amen. And you will find out, in some of the places, people have even taken 10 buckles. You know that you end up needing it for your leaders and other people. But don't throw away the key of knowledge. Don't throw. You are throwing away the key. Now, apart from that, if you register another registration for just $25, this costs $100. This is the price. And they are all for sale outside. When you go, you see the price is there, $250. But that is if you are buying. But for registration, this, what I was telling you about, listening, the Makane and so on, are available for just $25. The reason why I'm saying dollar, we go to different countries. So if we don't keep one currency, we get confused. Because it's very expensive. This was imported. Yes. Printed outside and brought. Wow. $25 only. And you see, some of these pastors here, apostles here, they are all surprised at what I'm saying. They can't even believe it. Huh?
They can't even believe it.
Yeah, they can't believe it. So anyway, after we close, you can register. Please, to register means you write your real name and your WhatsApp number, your email address, and so on. Don't give us an old number that doesn't work. So that in case we want to send you a message, we can say, that's all. But if you don't want to even give your name, you don't have to give it. But you can also give your name. And then, miss, we can send you a magazine or write to you. I don't know. But information is a blessing. Is it a blessing? If you want to get a loan, this is what you should rather get a loan for. Because it will be the greatest blessing to you. Amen. Let's welcome Dr. Ogo, the specialist, to take over.